Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
One of the great secrets to living the successful Christian life is that you not strive at it alone. God intends for you to strive together with Him and with your church family and other Christian friends. Next on Daily in the Word, stay tuned for a brand new series, Striving Together. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. This past summer, we celebrated our 25th anniversary of ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church, and in commemoration of that event, Dr. Chapel preached a sermon series entitled Striving Together. In that series, he challenged us once again to continue living the successful and fruitful Christian life by striving together with the Lord and with each other. And we hope that this series will be a great encouragement and blessing to your heart as you discover once again that striving together is what the Christian life is all about. Before we hear today's message, I do want to remind you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. That's one of our ways of striving together with you and trying to encourage your spiritual growth. You'll find lots of resources and information about this ministry as well. All of it at dailyintheword.org. Today, we're looking at Nehemiah chapters 1 and chapter 4, striving together for revival. Here's Paul Chapel.
Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now let's just see what that verse says very clearly. God had said, if you transgress, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to judge you. If you're with me on that, say amen. That's what he said. He said, you transgress, I'm going to judge. But then he also said, and notice that if you would there in verse number 9, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments. All right, let's say that together. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments. One more time, all together. But if ye... So God says, if you transgress, I'm going to judge you. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments, I will bless you. How many of you are thankful that we serve the God of a second chance? And he says here, I'm going to judge you if you turn away, but if you turn back to me, then I will bless you. How many of you believe America needs blessing today? Then it is time to turn back to him. It is time to say, stop the nonsense of taking down the Ten Commandments, of telling 12th graders they can't say Jesus in their graduation speech, telling pastors they can't pray at graduations. It is time to stop pushing God out and inviting Him back in, you see. In the name of tolerance, in the name of political correctness, we are elevating all kinds of false religion to the same religion of our founding fathers. And we are seeing in turn the hand of God removed from the United States of America. I like what Abigail Adams said in 1775, the wife of our second president, John Adams. She said, a patriot without religion, in my estimation, is a great paradox, is as great a paradox as an honest man without the fear of God. The scriptures tell us righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And so we must come back to that place where we say, Lord, we have turned from you, but we're asking you, Lord, to come back and bless us and forgive our sin and heal our land. And he prayed according to the promise of God. And God simply said, if you transgress, I will scatter you. But if you repent, I will bless you. Now, my friend, that's a Bible promise that we can take to the bank. We can know that God is telling us, I will keep my word to you. Notice secondly, though, if we're going to see revival, we must not only strive together in our prayer for America, but we must be striving with a purpose for America. We must be striving with a purpose for America. Now, notice this, if you would, in chapter number 2, please, and verse number 10. The Bible says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Now, would you notice that verse, please? There was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Nehemiah had this purpose, the welfare of the children of Israel. He had this desire to see these people come back to God, to see them protected from the enemy. Now, Nehemiah, as he came with this purpose, was a man who was driven not by ambition, not by self, but by a divine calling of God for the protection of the people. I want you to see a few things about his purpose. First of all, it was a personal purpose. This was something he personalized. Verse 17 says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Nehemiah was so burdened about the welfare of the children of Israel. By the way, I'm not talking about food stamps and birth control right now. I'm talking about the spiritual revival of his country. And there was a man come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And he was so burdened that he said to other people, hey, let's get involved in making a difference. Let's gather together and see what God will let us do. The early Connecticut Constitution said, and I quote, we bind together to preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now profess. By the way, don't ever let anybody tell you that this country was not founded as a Christian nation. Our forefathers had a purpose with this nation, that this would be a nation that glorified God, that this would be a nation that gave glory and praise and had holidays like Thanksgiving so that we might thank God for his blessing. And that was the purpose of the founders. That was why the Pilgrims and the Puritans came. It was not simply to make a buck. It was that they may worship as they please. And so Nehemiah wanted to see a place of worship called the temple in the city of God called Jerusalem. And there was a man come from God who had the welfare of the children of Israel on his heart. It was personal with him. And we must make it personal. But then notice, secondly, it was a shared purpose. It was not something that could be done alone. How many of you would agree with me? Revival will not come with just one or two here and there, but it must be shared by God's people everywhere. Look, if you would, at this verse, number 18, chapter 2. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. All right, did you find that? Let's read verse 18 together. Ready, begin. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, so they strengthened their hands for this work. Now, friends, here we see the children of Israel. They were gathering with him now. They were sharing the purpose. Our theme verse for all of these years at Lancaster Baptist Church, Philippians 1:27, has been that we would stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, and what does the rest of it say? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so they shared that purpose. They were striving together with Nehemiah. But notice thirdly, it was a God-honoring purpose. It was a God-honoring purpose. This was not for their glory, nor is this church for our glory, nor do we pray for revival in America, for the glory of the Christian people, for the glory of the political party. We want revival in America, that God would be glorified in this land once again. That when people sing, "God bless America," it is true and understood that God has blessed America. Look at that in verse number 20, if you would, of this verse of this chapter number 2. "Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we, His servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." Look at Nehemiah says, if this wall is rebuilt, if this temple is established, if we begin to worship like we once did, then it will be the God of heaven that will prosper us. And I'm going to tell you right now, any Christian that understands the Bible, any politician that has an ounce of humility would say that if America is blessed, it is by the mighty hand of God and God's hand alone. And Nehemiah said, it will only be by God if this nation is blessed. Look in your notes there at Psalm 118, verse 23. And it says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And that's what we pray God will do in our country once again. It will happen if we will strive together in prayer. We must bring this to the Lord. It will happen if we strive together with a purpose for the welfare of the children of Israel, for the welfare of the people of Lancaster, for the welfare of the people of Palmdale. And again, we're not speaking about just monetary assistance, though our church helps with that every single day, helping needy people. But there's a greater need than monetary assistance, for the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And so we must present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for 25 years, that has been the purpose of this church, to preach Jesus and Him crucified. Striving together in prayer, striving together with this purpose. Notice thirdly, striving together with persistence. Striving together with persistence. Now turn to chapter 6. As we learn about Nehemiah's revival today. And I want you to recognize that any group of people who determine to be used of God, any group of people who determine to pray for revival, and yes, even work for revival, those people are going to have resistance come their way. They are going to have trials along the way. There are many people who believe that we must celebrate diversity. Now, friend, if celebrate diversity means that America is a place for all people and all backgrounds and all cultures, that's fine. But when we start including lifestyles that are against the Word of God, we cannot, as Christians, celebrate that. And you see, the fact of the matter is that there will be opposition to the teachings of the Word of God. But I want you to see in verse 1 of chapter 6 how Nehemiah handled this. And it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Now, here were the enemies of Nehemiah, Sanballat and Tobiah. And they are doing everything they can to get this man off that wall, to get this man to stop worrying about revival, to get this man away from his work. But I want you to see a few things about Nehemiah as we close this morning. First of all, notice, he was persistent when he was ridiculed. Time and again, Sanballat and Tobiah ridiculed him. By the way, they might ridicule you. They might say, here comes the Baptist. Here comes the deacon. I know of a man in our church, some of his friends at work call him Jesus. They may make fun of you. They may try to get you out of church, if you will. They certainly tried that with Nehemiah. What did he do? Chapter 2, verse 19, please. Go back to chapter 2. Notice what the Bible says there. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and they despised us, you see. And there will be times when you are ridiculed, when you are laughed at, because you believe Jesus Christ is the way, not one of the ways, but the way. And you believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. And that when the Bible speaks of that which is natural and holy, and that which is unnatural and unholy, that God is establishing a moral law. And you believe the Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions, they are the Ten Commandments. And as you stand up for what is right, you will be laughed at and you will be scorned. Supreme Court Justice Antonio Scalia said in 1996 these words, "Devout Christians are destined to be regarded as fools in modern society." And I'm sure that there were those who thought Noah was an idiot. Why is that guy building the ark? Why is he preaching about God's judgment? He's an idiot. I'm sure that there were those who thought Nehemiah had lost his rocker trying to build that wall. And there were those who tried to get him down off of that wall. And may I say that every noble work and that every prayer for revival at first will seem ridiculous. And it will be criticized. But you must persist in doing the will of God with your life. I heard about a salesman that called a pastor's house, and the pastor had been going through a rough season. He'd been criticized for some of his preaching, and he'd been taking a strong stand, and it wasn't an easy time. And the salesman called, and the little girl answered the phone, and the salesman said, "Is your daddy there?" And she said, "No, he's not here right now. He's praying about another church that wants him to come to another place and be the pastor there." And the salesman said, "Well, how about your mommy? Can I talk to her?" And the little girl said, "No, mommy's packing." Sometimes pastors and Christians will fight the good fight for a while and then it gets tough, so they move on, or they get quiet, or they get discouraged, or they quit. I want to tell you this morning, never give up on standing for the truth of the principles of the Word of God. We must persist in that which is right. And the best way to deal with criticism is to accomplish your task and to do what God has called you to do. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, as we have received mercy and as we have received this ministry, we faint not." He said, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on keeping on. And so Nehemiah was persistent when he was ridiculed. But notice, secondly, he was persistent when he was discouraged. He was persistent when he was discouraged. Would you look at chapter 4? And verse number 10, chapter 4 and verse 10. This is interesting to me. And Judah was the largest tribe of Israel. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, 'From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.' Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your house.'" Now I want you to think about this. Judah came to Nehemiah, and Judah said, "We're afraid." And Judah said, "Why, we're not going to win this battle." And in verse number 10, they say, our burden bearers are overwhelmed, and there's so much rubbish. Watch this. Watch this very carefully. Judah got their eyes on the rubbish and not on the stones. They were looking at the problems, but not the foundational pillars of faith. And so they became discouraged and they said, "Nehemiah, we can't do it. There's too many problems. Our society is too far gone. I don't see how we're going to do it at all." And that's many times what Christians do. They look at the problems instead of the promises of the Word of God. And I wonder how Nehemiah felt when his strongest Christians, if you will, said, "We just don't see how this is going to get done." But that's what they were saying. They were discouraged in their faith. And Nehemiah, notice what he says to them in verse 14. He says, "Be not afraid of them." Would you say that with me, please? Be not afraid of them. Say it again.
Be not afraid of them.
Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. You say, Pastor, why do we pray for revival? Why are you preaching against this sin? Why does it bother you when Lady Gaga is facilitated by our tax dollars to go to another country to promote her perverted lifestyle and her antichrist message? Why does that bother you, Pastor? I'll tell you why. I have four children. I have grandchildren. There are hundreds of children in this Sunday school, and they're going to grow up in a nation that thinks perversion is normal unless we start praying now and asking God for revival. You want your children to think that sin is just the everyday norm, or do you want them to grow up knowing that there is a God in heaven, there is a Bible that gives moral absolutes? And if you care, then I want to tell you something, and I want to encourage you with this passage today. Be not afraid. Remember the Lord, my friend, and fight for your children in your prayer closet. Fight for your children. And as you go out soul winning, fight for your children. And as you teach your Sunday school class and sing in the choir, I know it's not easy, but Christians must stand if America will stand much longer. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Nehemiah was going through a tough time. Notice this as we close this morning. People were saying, come on down, Nehemiah, get off the wall, stop working. You don't need to be such a religious nut. Look what it says. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? The next time someone says, you ought to quit church. Next time someone says, you're a nut to tithe. Next time someone says, why are you always encouraging people to stand up for what's right or to vote for what is right? Why are you involved in all of that? And why don't you just quit and come on and let's have a party and let's just kind of have a good time and let the good times roll? Some of you might want to say to them, as Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I come down, you see? Oh, there's a time and a place for rest. But I want to tell you something, friend. Don't give up on revival. Don't give up on America. Don't give up on praying for your family and praying that God would do a great work once again. Should the Lord tarry in His coming, America is headed for either revival or anarchy. You see what's happening in the streets of Greece. God forbid that that would happen in America. But I'm telling you, my friends, if we continue to shake our fist in the face of Almighty God and kick His name out of our schools and His commandments out of our courthouses, if we continue to propagate wickedness, America is headed for anarchy and difficulty unless God's people pray and seek His face and God graciously sends revival once again. May we pray. May we have this purpose, the welfare of God's people, the welfare spiritually of America, and may we be persistent to never quit on the cause of God's commandment and revival in this hour. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, burdened for our nation. As Nehemiah of old, we ask your forgiveness for our sins, for our apathy. We ask that you would help us today to be a people concerned for revival in this land.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is in your life, I want to encourage you to visit us online or to call us toll-free and let us talk with you about that. We would be happy to help you understand more clearly what it means to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Not only can you find out more information about salvation, but there's a lot of resources on our website that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, links to recent broadcasts that perhaps you missed, also a way to subscribe to the podcast of Daily in the Word so you can take this program with you on your iPod or on your computer to listen to at your convenience. This and many, many more resources are available at dailyintheword.org. I want to encourage you to be sure to check out the link about new publications resources. You'll see the photo there on the homepage. There's a link to Dr. Chappell's new book. Mrs. Chappell has written a new book entitled The Choice Is Yours, and many other resources that we know will encourage you in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this again at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free 1-800-201-7748, or write to us. Send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.